It's time for America's most unique motorsport show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. Sorry about the little delay there. You just never know about electronics, right? They're finicky, right? And that's what we had here just a moment ago when we came on the air, a little sound problem. But I think we got it all fixed now. We hope that people will tune back in. We might have just lost every listener, Austin. We might not even have one listener today. You think? Is there any chance that nobody's going to listen to the show today?
I think they'd be pretty disappointed to miss out on this show.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We got Chase Rodman who's going to join us. He's the World of Outlaw Pit Reporter. He's always a great guest. One of my favorite people to have on the show. He's got such insight about what's going on with the World of Outlaws. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Did you have a chance to watch that race at Husetts last night there, Austin?
I did.
Yeah, what'd you think about that race?
I don't know if the outcome with Baston winning would have been different if Gravel wouldn't have stuffed himself in the fence getting into one. I don't know if Baston would have been able to get around him. I think Gravel might have had the best car that night and just driver error took him out of a race.
Right, yeah.
No doubt. Shot the win, at least.
Well, when we look at the replay, once Gravel takes the lead, did you feel like that Robbie Price, did you feel like he was really a play into that accident, or do you think that was more on Gravel?
After watching it a couple times, you know, the first time you see it, you think, all right, Price kind of squeezed him and Gravel had to, you know, kind of take a shot and avoid him and kind of stuffed himself in the wall. And they came back with a different angle in the replay. And,
right.
and there was probably, you know, 4 foot between the two cars. And I think, you know, Price kind of made a wider entry into one. And I think it just might have startled Gravel a little bit. And it just made Gravel kind of react a little more than he should have.
Yeah.
And he just had a flick to the wheel and it did and the right rear was already close to the wall
and once
the right rear hit it, it sucked the right front in. And yeah. And anytime you suck the right front in on an open wheel car, you're going to be going for a ride, and you just got stuck in it, and that's what kind of caught him.
You know what was amazing about it is that it appeared that Robbie Price was a good foot and a half away from Gravel when they got up next to each other. And I'm like you. I think Gravel just kind of a little twitch of the wheel, thinking that maybe Robbie Price was going to get into him.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing we saw with Kerry Madsen at Knoxville a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, on that situation with Kerry, you know, Aaron kind of moved up. And I think, you know, at that point, Kerry was afraid of dirty air, and he overreacted and caught the wall at the right rear and came down and wiped out 6 cars. We all remember seeing that.
Right.
And that was probably the same thing that happened to Gravel. And it's just, you know, you're going so fast up there. I mean, it's a quarter mile. It was super heavy. You're all wide open. And you just, you know, things react at a different pace. And I think he might have saw it happening faster than it actually did. And then just didn't, with him leading, he didn't want to take a shot of having, you know, an accident with the lap car, and it just, you know, it didn't work out that way for him.
Let me ask you this. Am I the only one that was pulling for Casey Kane to win that race?
I think we all were.
I think everybody was.
I think even if you aren't a Casey Kane fan, you were pulling for Casey Kane to win just to see that, you know, it's, we were kind of talking about it earlier. It's hard to believe that was his first podium. You know,
yeah.
He's won, you know, numerous sprint car races back in the early 2000s and the late 90s.
Right.
And to see him not have those two accomplishments with the Outlaws is hard to believe. And I think we're all wanting to see him, you know, finally get that first win one day and just get it over with before his career is over.
Right, no doubt. Paul said no, he was not looking forward to Casey Kane winning. You know, I was a little set back when they said that was his first podium finish, too.
It's kind of hard to believe, right?
Unbelievable. I don't know what his World of Outlaw career was like before he became a NASCAR star.
I am not sure on that.
That was before you were born, probably, wasn't it?
I bet you Chase would know that.
Yeah.
Yep. I think Chase knows about anything we could ask him.
He is a remarkable. Did you see where Brian Brown had to pull up at the back of the field at the start of the race? He was originally scheduled to start 14th, but then he pulled up at the back of the field. I'm not sure. You looked up on his Twitter account. You didn't see anything where he made any comment about what happened last night, but I've got a feel that they had a motor issue and he didn't want to get run over. I got a feel that that was the case. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you. I checked his social media. Nothing came out yet. I assume we'll see something, you know, here as the day kind of develops. And, you know, he's just, if you have an engine issue, there's no sense in starting right in the middle of the pack and tearing your stuff up. And, you know, you're still going to get your start money. I think it pays a grand to start an outlaw race and just, you know, let the tail make one lap, get your start money and pull off and let the crew go work, look at it and work on it throughout the night. And
take your lumps.
And yeah, I mean, I'd rather take my $1,000 and my lap and have a clean race car than know I have a problem with a wreck race car and spending more than $1,000 to fix it.
Well, you know what, maybe is it me or was the biggest story of the night, I don't know what's bigger, Casey Kane leading all those laps or Justin Henderson not allowed to start the race because his tire didn't have the mark on it?
Well, before we get in that, I read a comment from Dylan. He was saying, let's see.
Dylan.
He probably was backing out just because of the way the start money works. I think it's like 24 to, let's say, 16 or 14th is all like $1,000. And at the point, it you know, starts to go up. And Brown said it before. I mean, you'll see Brown having a bad night at, you know, wherever with an outlaw show, and he's running 16th, 17th, and he'll just pull off because, I mean, there's no sense in running back there where you know you're not going to get any more money, and you're just putting more laps on your equipment. So, yeah, I mean, he might not have had a problem. Knows he's just going to kind of be a mid-pack car. Maybe it was kind of narrow last night, so he probably thinks he has a shot to tear his equipment up. You know you're just going to make a grand, come back the next two nights and race for $100,000.
Yeah, well, I got to say that, but what do you think about the Henderson deal?
I don't know how he did that.
First of all, when they went to the car and they said, your tire doesn't have the mark on it, and they relayed through the broadcast, they said that the tire with the mark on it is not in the work area, it was back in the pits. How does that happen?
I don't know, because the deal with the Outlaws is you run the same tire from qualifying on throughout the rest of the night. You cross the scales after qualifying. A guy has a stencil and a spray paint can, or a bottle of spray paint, and they mark your tire. So usually if you have a tire, let's say, has a hole in it or you have an obvious problem with it, you can present it to an Outlaw official, and they will probably let you go and change it out for a different one.
Right.
Unless they just didn't do that, maybe they had a problem with it and they didn't present it to an Outlaw official and they checked it and it wasn't, you know, the marked tire.
Right.
I don't know. It was kind of an odd situation that he was in, but you'd think, you know, Henderson's raced with the Outlaws for a while. He knows what's going on. I don't know what they were trying to do. I mean, you don't see that spray paint that's on that tire. So it's going to be a hard time to, you know, the mud won't knock it off.
Right.
Some chemicals will after some point, but, I mean, there's nobody out here trying to wipe the mark off the tire.
No, I like Justin Henderson. He's a good guy. I've hung out with him quite a bit. We've ate dinner with him in the same restaurant, sitting next to each other at tables before. He's a good guy. I really like the guy. But how in the world does the team screw that up?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm just saying, how does that even happen? I just can't get my head around it. Why anybody would try to show up without that right rear tire that they'd marked and try to get away with trying to run the race. And in fact, they wouldn't even let him pull back out on the racetrack. They parked him and wouldn't even let him start the race.
Yeah, I mean, you broke the rule. Yeah, you know what the rules are.
Right.
If you don't have a marked tire on, you're not going to start the race. And, I mean, that's on the team. Like you said, I'm trying to figure out ways of, you know, how that could have worked. And besides what I said, I don't know how you could do that. I mean, that's the biggest, like, bonehead move you could probably do for a a simple job.
Because you know they're going to check it.
You know that's the rule. You come to an outlaw race, and you know when ASCS had their one tire rule for a couple races,
right?
You know, I had my stuff set up the way, so I know what wheel and what tire combo I want for that night. That's what I'm going to run the all night long, so I can have my lifters matched up
right.
too. I mean, that's you build your night and your program for that night around that rule.
Like, right?
How do you fumble that much?
That's a terrible mistake. All right, listen. What we need to do is we need to take a break right here because we told Chase Rodman he's going to be on at 12:20. We want to make sure that we do that. We don't want him thinking that we're not going to give him a call. So we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Chase Rodman, the World of Outlaws pit reporter, joins us next right here on the show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is a guy I really enjoy talking to. He's so studious and so well prepared when he does his broadcast with the World of Outlaws. Chase Rodman joins us now on the show. Chase, how you doing?
Hey, Scott. How's it going, man? Good to be back on. Getting ready to head to the racetrack here for night two. I guess it's actually the first night of this High Bank Hustle deal, or High Bank Nationals, I should say.
Man, oh man, what? How many people across America that were watching last night were pulling for Casey Kane, you think?
I'm going to say a majority of them, probably. I mean, I was as well. You know, I want to see him. I want to see him win just as much as the next guy, because a guy that's been doing it as long as him and has been involved in the sport for as long as him and has put as much, you know, time, effort, and money into it,
right,
as him, I think deserves to, you know, go to victory lane with the Outlaws sometime. But unfortunately, last night just wasn't meant to be. He was very close, obviously, led, I want to say, 23 of the 30 laps. But
right,
he said in victory lane he just wasn't making the best decisions there in traffic, and that's what ultimately cost him there. So it was definitely cool to watch, though.
You know, when we talk about the World of Outlaws, and we know that it's the best of the best when it comes to sprint car racing, the pressure when a guy is leading one of those races, like Casey Kane, never had won a race, had never finished on the podium before, the pressure has to be pretty intense when you get guys like Spencer Baston and Buddy Kofoit, Carson Macedo, and you get those guys up there starting to challenge you, the pressure must get pretty intense, right?
Oh, there's no doubt, man. I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to be in that position, leading the race. I mean, for, you know, a lot of those guys that have won it, won quite a few times, I'm sure it's not quite as for him. I'm sure he was getting more and more nervous when you can see the, you know, I think they could see the lap counter.
Right.
On the backstretch, and
yeah,
every time that he went by, he probably was looking at it, seeing how many where there were to go, and every time you do that, it just makes it a little bit worse as far as those nerves go. So,
yeah,
I think Casey, he will win a race someday. I don't know where it's going to be at, when it will be.
Right.
Maybe it'll be this week. I'm not really sure, but you know, he was obviously really close yesterday, and it was fun to watch.
Did you find out why Brian Brown chose to pull up the rear? Did he have an engine problem?
I'm not really sure. I don't know what happened to Brian Brown. Nobody really said anything. I don't know. He dropped to the tail at the beginning of the race.
Right.
And I'm not really sure what that was for. And then just pulled in, I want to say, on the first couple of laps. So might have to ask him today what exactly happened there, but didn't really seem like, you know, I didn't hear anything about what was going on. So,
yeah. You know, one of the biggest surprises, I don't know if it's Casey Kane leading all those laps, or was it Justin Henderson showing up without his tire being marked? What is the bigger of those two stories? That's just kind of mind blowing that you show up and you don't have your marked tire on the right rear.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there. I was texting somebody about that last night too. And, somebody's definitely getting fired, or they're going to be in trouble for having that happen.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's pretty well stated in every driver's meeting, you know, with the Outlaws, that you got to run the same tire that you qualify on,
right,
in the feature, especially with the current situation that we've got going on right now with tires. So, and the worst part was, I mean, he could have, you know, if they had the tire, they could have came back out and started the feature, but they didn't even have the tire in the, you know, in the
work
field
area.
So that's what really,
right, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have in the work area anything to put it on. So that was tough to see. And obviously Justin is a guy that, you know, he's a pretty level-headed guy from what I've been able to gather and from what I've talked to him.
He's a good guy.
He crashed and things, yeah, like that. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I think he's an awesome guy. But
yeah,
somebody made a mistake there and cost him big. You know, obviously they're still going to get that start money, but I think – when it comes to Husitz and Justin Henderson.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the biggest surprises for me was that Buddy Kofoed, it looked like he was going to have a chance to maybe take the lead, but for some reason his car went south and he ended up running fourth. I'm not sure what happened to Buddy last night. Have you heard?
You know, I actually went to dinner last night with him at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I didn't even ask him. He was too busy eating his chicken wings. He was still not bad. He was still, you know, pretty decent for, you know, that team is relatively new, and they're in a weird spot right now. You know, Bernie was supposed to be the crew chief in that car, and he hasn't been at the last couple of races that they've been with the Outlaws, and Brad Alexander's had to step in, and he's been doing a great job, obviously. I mean, he started second. They're doing something right if you're starting second in an Outlaw feature. And I want to say he ran maybe fourth. Oh, he was fourth. I mean, that's still a pretty good run.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I thought was a cool story also was how many times do we see an Outlaw main event starting lineup where the two guys in the front row are both looking for their first win? I thought that was pretty wild as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, Buddy, he's definitely got one coming for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I was just kind of a little bit puzzled that he went backwards. But maybe the biggest story of all the stories was David Gravel. He takes the lead, and the next lap, he rock crawls the wall going down the front straightaway. He's trying to get around Robbie Price. I think Robbie Price gave him enough room. We looked at the replay several times today, and it looked like he had about a foot and a half or so between the two of them. But I'm not sure if Gravel just kind of twitched a little bit and just got up on the wall. And unfortunately, it tore his car up good enough. A valiant effort by those guys trying to get that car back together. They were so close to making it back out onto the racetrack. Maybe we lost Chase. Give him a call back there, Austin. So anyway, David Gravel trying to get around Robbie Price, and unfortunately for him, he rock-crawled the wall down the front straightaway, and that was the end of his night. But I will say that they did a great job. They replaced the top wing and the front axle, and they were all but done repairing that car when the green flag came back out. They were past the halfway mark, so there was no set time in the work area. They wouldn't give them 2 minutes to try to get the car back out onto the racetrack as Kirk Gillage trying to get a hold of. All right, let's bring you back now. Chase, you there? All right. All right, Kirk's going to give him a ring back. We'll see if we can pull him back up here in a minute. But anyway, I thought it was a great effort on the two team of trying to get that car back out onto the racetrack. Again, the pressure on these teams when the car comes in the work area, we've seen it with Shelton Hodenshield, change out these front axles, get back out onto the racetrack, and they were very close. Austin, they were really close to getting that car back out on the racetrack last night. They just come up like a minute short, didn't they?
Yeah, nothing is more fun to watch than a work area, but as a team and a crew member, it's the most stressful part of your night.
All right, let's bring back Chase. Chase, I'm sorry about that. Hey, we were just talking a little bit about David Gravel when he kind of rock climbed the wall trying to get around Robbie Price down the front straightaway. It appeared to us when we watched the replay that there was plenty of room between the two of them. I'm not sure if David Gravel just didn't give a little twitch as he got up next to him, kind of rock climbed the wall. But I think that the most impressive thing of that whole sequence of events that happened right there was how close they came to getting that car repaired. They put a top wing on it. They put a front axle in it. They were about a minute away from getting back out on the racetrack, weren't they? I guess we don't have Chase.
Yeah, you guys got me now.
Now we got you. I don't know if you heard what
Okay, so I heard you. I got you. So, you know, I was watching from the infield, obviously, and it was hard to tell how much room there was between David and Robbie there. And in my opinion, from where I was sitting at, it looked like Robbie came up and kind of put him in the fence. And then when I went back and watched the replay, I was, you know, pretty surprised to see that they, like you said, a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet of room between the two. And then,
right,
I don't know if David maybe thought that Robbie was coming up a little bit more or something and tried to compensate for that. And just, you know, once you get that right front tire into the wall, that's going to be a problem there. But like you said, those guys got super close to getting him back out there, because as soon as they like came to the green, they dropped the jack and he was ready to go back onto the track. So, you know, and somebody was telling me last night that might be the, you know, that could be the nail in the coffin in his championship run. Obviously, there's still a long ways to go this season, but I don't see Brad Sweet having any issues like that. You know, he doesn't DNF very often, so it's going to take a lot for David to come back from a night like that. And it makes it even worse that he was, you know, poised to win the race and then goes on to finish, I don't even know, what, 22nd or something, 20th. Yeah, that was tough to see, but, you know, maybe over the next three nights, Dave will be able to redeem himself here.
Yeah, David Gravel's 74 points out of the lead right now. You know, it's remarkable when I sit here and you tell me, I think you know the number. I think the average finish for Brad Sweet last year was like 5 points something, right? You have to run up in the top. You have to run up in the top five just about every night, especially when you only have one win compared to Carson Macedo, who has five, and Shelton Hodgeshield, who has seven. Consistency really pays off.
Yeah, consistency is what it's all about when it comes to, you know, winning the Outlaw Championship, obviously, and that's kind of something that a guy, Justin Fiedler, has been really paying attention to recently on his podcast, and he's been mentioning that a lot. Like, I mean, you got to be, you know, average finish every night, or average finish throughout the season is going to be five or a six, maybe a seven. That's pushing it. You know, you got to be up there close to the top five every night if you want to do it. And, you know, I think Brian Walker put out a tweet, maybe it was somebody else, but I thought I saw something about, like, somebody winning a championship, and the least amount of wins they had was, like, eight. I want to say maybe it was Darren Pittman, maybe, or something. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was, like, Danny Lasoski or something. They had eight wins, I think, and won the championship. And right now, Brad's kind of on that pace, it seems like. He's only got one win in the first almost – we're close to 30 races now. So I don't think he's going to end the season with one win by any means. But
right.
Obviously, when he's sixth and seventh place every single night, it's going to be hard to, you know, gain points on him, for sure.
Right. You're around these guys a lot. Do you sense any frustration in Brad Sweet with only one win? Do you feel that when you talk to him? Does that consume him at all?
You know, honestly, I feel like I haven't really noticed much of a difference in his, I guess, his demeanor, his behavior, or whatever. I talked to him on the podium at Beaver Dam one of the nights, and, you know, obviously, you know, Brad's mentioned it multiple times over the last, you know, 2 years that I've been doing this, is like, you know, now that he's won two, three championships, like, his main focus now is winning as many races as he can, and obviously he's not doing that right now, but I think that he's still, you know, obviously when you win three championships, oh yeah, I've done it, and I don't need to do it again, but, like, obviously there's still a lot of money at the end of the season, and I think he realizes that. And, you know, obviously you want to win 10, 15, 20 races. That's what his goal is. But, you know, I just don't know what is going on. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's the car. I don't know if it's the crew chief. I really don't know what's going on. Nobody's really, you know, spilling the beans on that. But it's hard for me to believe that after 3 years that those same three guys, you know, Bowman, Eric, Joe Mooney, and Brad, those guys have all been together for the last 3 years when they won those championships. It's hard to believe that something has gone wrong over the offseason to where they're off now. But that's what they are, man. They just seem to be a little bit off right now.
Yeah.
And off for them is sixth place every night.
Let's talk about this event. You know, Todd Quarrin has put his money where his mouth is, right? I mean, that guy is a huge contributor to the world of outlaws with his sprint car program, but also putting on this event up there at Houston. It's the number one, the highest paying sporting event in South Dakota, if I'm not mistaken. Is that true?
Yeah, that's I did read that, and I heard that as well. That's pretty awesome to hear that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know all the sporting history in South Dakota, but for this to be the highest paying race in the state, or highest paying sporting event in the state, is definitely really cool to be a part of, for sure.
Yeah. Where do you place? You know, I look at a lot of racetracks. I traveled with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour for 13 years. Went to a lot of racetracks. And Husetts is definitely got to be in the top five, maybe even the top three best racetracks in America. Would you agree with that?
Oh, it's for sure the nicest facility that, or one of the nicest facilities you go to all year long. My dad, I was on the phone with him before I was talking to you guys, and you know, he was watching last night on Dirtvision and was like, man, that place is just looks like it's got it all. And he's just going off what he's seen on the TV screen, you know. And when you get there, I mean, there's food, you know, there's a snack bar around every single corner, it seems like. And every seat in the house is a good place to be sitting at. And there's all kinds of different suite towers and whatever. Obviously, they have some damage to the main ones on the front stretch, but there's some in turn four and, you know, all the billboards and the big screens and everything that goes along with it. I mean, the racetrack, the facility is top notch, and it's definitely, in my opinion, top two, top three that we go to all year long as far as the facility goes. So, you know, like you said, Todd Quarring doesn't mess around. He, like you said, he puts his money where his mouth is, and he's providing us with an incredible place to have a huge event like this.
You know, it's remarkable the turnaround that they made after that tornado hit them up there and the repairs they did on the facility. I mean, not many people could do that, could turn a racetrack around after that kind of damage.
Yeah, and, you know, he's got a good guy that, you know, is kind of the leader of the pack over there with Doug Johnson. He seems like, I don't really know him very well, but, you know, from what I've heard and, you know, the short time I've talked to him, it seems like he has definitely got his stuff together. And, you know, Todd was telling me that there was times where they spent, you know, 24-hour days there for like 4 or 5 days straight trying to get that place back in shape. Because when it first happened, you know, we were supposed to be racing there the next week until it got rained out, you know. But they made sure that when we got there that everything looked like it was – you know, in working order. The only thing that was, when we got there that time for that rain out, the only thing that looked like it was a little bit messed up was those suites at the top of the grandstands.
Right.
And, you know, you could tell that they just had put a plywood wall up to make sure that, you know, nothing was exposed or whatever. But now, like when you go there today, like they have a giant banner that covers that whole area and it looks like it's supposed to be like that, even though it's not, you know. So
yeah,
they did a great job. And it's impressive that they were able to do everything they did to get it back into racing shape, because I feel like when that whole thing first happened, we were thinking that, you know, Husetts is done for the year almost, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. That was the second win for Spencer last night. He picked up the win at Bristol. This is his second win with the World of Outlaws this year. Were you surprised that Spencer was that fast last night, or not surprised?
No, actually, you know, I was talking about Justin Fiedler a moment ago, and I was on his podcast a few days ago, and I said that was my pick to win at least one of the races this week was Spencer. And, you know, his track record at Husetts might not be very good. I think his best finish prior to last night was like 16th or something. He's only been there twice.
Wow.
But I just feel like he's kind of got like a different mindset compared to some of these guys that have been doing this for a long time, you know, 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years that have been on the Outlaw Tour. Like, it's still fresh to him. He's still, you know, he's still having fun. Like, he's still enjoying the drive and up and down the road. And, you know, when you got a new sponsor on board and you got all this other stuff going on in the background and everything's still fresh to you, I feel like that makes him, you know, a lot more relaxed, I would say, and more motivated maybe to go out there and do good. And it's crazy to me that he's only got two wins this year. I feel like there's been times this year he's been leading three or four races and something happens, a guy wrecks in front of him, or he, you know, hits the inside wall at Tulare and breaks something there. In my opinion, Spencer should have, you know, maybe five or six wins this year, but obviously some circumstances took him out of those to be, you know, in contention to win those races. But I'm not surprised at all that he's fast. I'm not surprised at all that he won last night. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him do it again later this week.
Yeah. Who do you think is, I hate to put you in this spot right here, but because, you know, we're all supposed to be a little neutral when it comes to who we think is going to win the race. But who do you think is the odds-on favorite to pull off this win this weekend?
Well, after seeing the speed that David had last night, I think it's going to be hard to go against him, you know.
Yeah.
But I want to say that Sheldon's going to be there also. Last night, obviously, he I don't know if you were watching the heat races or not, but
I did.
You know, what he did in the heat race with no right rear shock was pretty impressive. And I think that if he didn't have that happen and put the car on the dash, he could have been in contention to win the race last night. But I think David, with how fast he was last night, I feel like everybody's kind of got the target on his back to take home 100K later this week. But I want to say Sheldon, obviously he's the hottest guy on the tour right now with 7 wins. I feel like if he can get it in the dash, or no, I guess there isn't a dash for the rest of the week, but if he can get it up front for any of these features coming up, I think he's going to be tough as well.
You know, that was mind-blowing, and you could see it on your face when he rolled out there without that right rear shock on that car.
Yeah.
And then blew by a few cars without that right rear on the shock, that shock being on the right rear. I was blown away by that. I couldn't believe that he got to a transfer spot.
I mean, not even just a transfer. I mean, he almost was, like, he went by or was up next to Spencer at one point for the dash spot, you know, and finished third. That was absolutely insane. I don't think his crew chief, you know, Kyle Ripper, was expecting that to even happen.
Yeah.
And then what was kind of cool was, you know, we usually do that, the interview after the heat race, and I don't know if Sheldon didn't hear over the radio or something, but he kind of blew by us on the front stretch, and then, you know, at Houston, you pull into the infield before you cross back over to the racetrack, go to the pits, and, like, he was, like, I don't know if excited is the right word, but like he was like looking forward to talking to me about what had just happened, because I don't think he could even believe what happened.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Well, Chase, we really appreciate you always taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, man. I'm just telling you, again, I hate to regurgitate everything, but you're so studious and you're so good at what you do. And I think the chemistry between you and Johnny is so tight. I don't know if the World of Outlaws has ever had a better broadcasting team than what they have right now, and you're a big part of that, and the chemistry you have with Johnny is just remarkable. So I'm glad that you're there. You make the broadcast much easier to watch, and, man, we're really, really excited to watch this weekend up there at Houston. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I appreciate that. We're still having a lot of fun with it. I'm glad to hear you say those things. I really appreciate it. Hopefully you guys enjoy the rest of the show this weekend. I'm glad you had me back on here.
All right. We'll talk to you down the road, Chase. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
All right. Thanks, Scott. See you.
There you have it. Chase Rodman, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of Mostly Motorsports. We'll wrap up the show, and we'll talk about our little conversation we just had with Chase Rodman. Austin and I will. So stay tuned for more of Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott hanging out with us here in the studio. We want to remind everybody about the track tribute of Ascot Park that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to be going through October 1st. They've got 7 or 8 open-wheel cars that are on display up there that raced at Ascot Park. Again, this racetrack was in Gardena, California. It was such a legendary track, man. It's just anybody who was anybody that raced out on the West Coast raced at Ascot Park. As I mentioned, I went back there back in the day when I lived in Southern California. I lived in Redondo Beach, California. I was about 7-8 miles away from Ascot Park. I used to go there every week. I hate to say it, but I went there to watch the sheet metal because I was a sheet metal racer. I wasn't a sprint car driver. So I went to Ascot Park a lot back in the day. I love that place. It was such a great venue. So get up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum before October 1st and check out the track tribute to Ascot Park. It's a great exhibit. Maybe the best exhibit in the history of Ascot Park. So get up there and check that out. And don't forget about the raffle that they're going to have with the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they are going to draw on August 13th. That's during the Knoxville Nationals, Saturday, August 13th. They'll draw the winning ticket out for that. If you can't make it up there in person, you can always do it online by going to Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette, C8R, contest.com. Again, this is only one of 1,000 of these Corvettes that were built. They're worth up to between $150,000 and $300,000, just depending on where you look. I saw one online for $150,000, the Barrett Jackson auction. Had a charity auction, and one of them went for $300,000. So what a great, great car. Man, Austin, you know how bad I want a Corvette, don't you? I want.
I've said it before. Every time I come in here,
I say I want a Corvette.
There's a. Come look at this. Come look at this car I found. Look at this Corvette.
Well,
it's every day we find something new.
Here's the thing. Here's what I want. I want either a rat rod, I want a gasser, a straight axle gasser, or a Corvette. Those are the three things that. Or let me throw one more thing in there. Or a Harley Davidson. I sold my motorcycle here just recently, my Harley, and I let it go, and I'm telling you, it's bothered me ever since I let it go. I want another one.
Hmm.
So anyway, don't forget about, they have also got that sprint car raffle going on with the 2022 Triple X chassis up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's a 410 sprint car, and they will be giving that away up at the during December. That's December 16th. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always buy raffle tickets online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. Or you can give them a call and do it online, or I mean on the phone, at 641-842-6176. Again, that phone number is 641-842-6176. And you can always do that on the phone as well. Austin, $100,000 to win this race Saturday night.
Yes.
Do you wish you had a 410 and you were up there racing with him right now?
I think everybody that has a 360 or does not have a 410 wishes they had one to be up there. I mean, it's not as much as winning the Knoxville Nationals or the Kings Royal or the historical big one, but, I mean, it's still, you know, a six-figure race, and everybody wants to go race for some money, right? You know, I would love to be up there along with everybody else.
Right. So what would you, if you had your druthers, the Kings Royal, it pays $175,000 to win, right?
Yes.
Knoxville Nationals pays $150,000 to win.
The Nationals kind of have an asterisk next to it, because if you lead all the laps, you get $1,000. So it's $1,000 a lap you lead. So if you lead all 50, you can walk out of there with, you know, $200,000. So
right.
It's $150,000 plus whatever.
Right. And then you have the High Bank Nationals up here at Houston's this weekend. It's going to pay $100,000 to win. And the historical big one at Eldora pays $100,000 to win as well, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, that's, you know, four races and, you know, what's span of 2 months, two and a half months.
Right. I want to throw this in, too, because I don't want people to think that all we talk about is sprint car racing, because, you know, that's kind of what we like around here. Bobby Pierce picked up that 40-lap late model win last night. He beat Shannon Babb and Max Blair. Did you watch any of that race at all?
When can we just change the Hell Tour name to the Bobby Pierce Tour and the,
right.
and the Nick Hoffman Tour?
Right.
I mean, come on. Those two, I mean, Hoffman's going to win another. You know, he's probably going to leave, you know, the Hell Tour with 20-some-odd wins, and I bet you Pierce leaves with 12 or so, and at what point do you just change the name on it and let them just turn into an ATM for themselves?
You know, I've been pretty impressed with Max Blair, the 111V car. He's been running pretty decent as of late. I don't know much about Max Blair, but he seems like he's a pretty good race car driver, but Shannon Babb did get around him last night for second place.
Yeah, what I don't know a whole lot about Max either, but from what I do know, he's kind of from the East Coast. I believe he's a rookie with the Outlaw Tour this year.
He's from Centerville, PA.
I was thinking he's from the South, but he's a rookie with the Outlaw Tour this year, and he's just, you know, kind of taking that next step in his career to kind of become more of a national tour driver, and you know, he's traveling out to some more tracks he hasn't been to, and it's, you know, kind of paying off for him.
Yeah. Jason Fager, he started 11th. He ended up running 6th last night. I'm trying to see who was the guy that charged up through the field the most. It looks like it was probably Jason Fager that was the guy that moved up the most during that race last night. The Hell Tour, man. You know, here's the thing. The only thing that I kind of disagree with a little bit with the Hell Tour, so they only pay $5,000 to win each night, right? Should it pay more than that, Austin?
Well, I mean, is there 30 races? It's about a month long, right?
Right.
let's say there's 30 races with it, $5,000 to win, you win all 30, that's $60,000. So, I mean, I believe the baseline pay for like your like Lucas show or like your Outlaw show is 10. So, I mean, and that's more of kind of a regional dirt car deal, and dirt car isn't as big as those two, you know, powerhouse series. And I mean, for what they're kind of doing, I think $5,000 is good enough for them. If the pay on back from second to 24th is pretty good, then I think it's fine.
It's such a grind, though.
It is, but, you know, it's just what you sign up for.
Yeah.
You can go somewhere else and race if you don't like it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's it. But, you know, it's definitely a grind. I don't know if you've ever done a speed week, Austin, but I have. I've done it for many a years. It's very, very challenging
as
for not only the teams, but for the officials, for the broadcasters, everybody. It's just a grind.
As much as I would love to go run speed week with some series, I don't want to do it.
It's too much work.
And the position that I'm in right now, I don't want no part of it because
financially it's tough too.
Well, that too. But I mean, for someone that doesn't have, I mean, I got people that help me, but you know, I got, you know,
they're full-time workers.
I got two full-time guys, including myself, so I'm one of them. I got one other full-time guy. I need at least two more to do all the work, and I mean, that's...
I'll go with you.
At that point, you got to pay them.
I'll go with you.
I know you would, but I mean, that's a lot of... I don't know, that's...
I'm not afraid of work.
Not if I'm driving for somebody, I'll do it. But right now, You will not see me at a Speed Week show.
Cannon McIntosh picked up that power I win last night. Did you see that?
I just saw the results of it. I was locked into Husitz. I mean, kind of a result of having one TV. I need to buy some more TVs.
Tammy said she said Hell Tour should pay a minimum of $10,000 a race. Today's new late model in today's late model world. I'm with you, Tammy.
Yeah,
I think it should pay at least $10,000 to win. Pete said that McIntosh gave Jade a big Kirk wheel last night at the Power Eye event. Did you see that?
I did not. Like, well, Kirk's getting called out over here for feeding people's wheels, but
right.
no, I mean, that's just midget racing for you, I guess. I mean, it's going to be dealt to you. You better take it.
Right. Yeah. Who do you think's going to win this weekend up there at Husitz? You got a pick? Do you want to wait for till tomorrow after you see tonight?
No. Already got mine done. It's not like the Eldora Million you're trying to get me to pick on the first night before we saw even one car on the track. But
you're going to pick gravel, aren't you?
Nope. I'm going to go. Coming off his speed last week at Beaver Dam,
right?
And Beaver Dam is not. It's a smaller track, but you get to a quarter mile like Husitz, where we saw last night, it was pretty hooked up and hammered down heavy. And guy that's, you know, almost unbeatable in tracks like that, and Sheldon. So that's who I'm going to go with for picking up the 100,000. He has some work to do. I mean, if he can keep the right rear shock on it tonight, he might be in a better shot. And for the whole rest of the week, he might be in a better shot. And
did you see that when they went out with that shock off?
I seen that.
Oh my
gosh. Him to go out there and run that good, I was blown away. But, I mean, that's Sheldon doing Sheldon things, and dude's incredible.
How
so
could you even make your car handle without a right rear shock?
I sat there and tried to think about it, and all I could keep thinking about was me hanging up in the fence in turn one.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I don't know who to pick. I need one more night of watching the races tonight before I can make my pick. But I'm kind of like you. Sheldon, I think, is a good pick. I also think, listen, don't count out Aaron Reitzel.
Well, I guess he couldn't. Did he have a problem with his Toyota last night?
Did he have a problem with the motor?
I thought I read somewhere. I missed qualifying. And some of the heat races, but I thought I read somewhere where he had a problem with his Toyota.
He's pretty good up there.
He is.
Yeah. All Aaron Reitzel needs is a good starting position. I think that's going to be critical to winning on Saturday night, don't you think? You got to start up in the first three rows, I think, if you're going to have a chance to win that $100,000.
I'd have to agree with you. I mean, we saw Tim's come from ninth last week, but that was at a Gnosis show where you didn't have the outlaw competition there. So
right.
I definitely think if you're going to – be a contender with the Outlaws this weekend, you need to start. Yeah, if they had a dash, I would be in the dash spot. So top six would be where I would probably be.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to watching the races this week?
Yeah, we're kind of getting to that. It's not the month of money yet. Month of money is in September, but we're kind of getting into that build up to the month of money. We're getting ready, like you said. We have the High Banks this weekend. We got the Kings Royal, the big one coming up here soon, Eldora.
Got ASCS at the I-70 Speedway.
Yep, then you have the Nationals coming around. So we're starting to get into that point in the season where it's starting to get real good, and we're going to see some great sprint car racing here soon.
And if you're listening to Mostly Motorsports right now, listen, folks, if you're here in the Midwest, if you're not going to Husetts, I'm telling you there's going to be a damn good show out at I-70 Speedway. You need to get out there and watch it. It's going to be a really good Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour broadcast, or show, I should say. That'll be on Flow, and Race on Texas is doing that.
And Flow. But it's produced by...
I'm going to bite my lip a little bit.
I am too.
You know what? Racing Boys didn't do a bad job when we were out there.
No, not at all.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. I'll just leave it alone.
I think other people agree with us too, without having to say anything.
Right. No need to go down that road, is there?
Nope.
Caleb said he didn't win last year with the Toyota notebook. Notes might not be the best to refer to depending on how he feels the motor performs. I guess he's talking about is he talking about Reitzel?
I'd imagine. Yes, because Reitzel's part of the Toyota deal.
Right. I don't know, man. We'll just have to see how that all goes. But anyway, get out to I-70 Speedway if you're going to be around this weekend. It's going to be a great show out there. I promise you it's going to be a barn burner. Real fast track. You'll love the place. Get out and check out the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. Tammy said, 10 straight days of PA Speed Week in my neck of the woods starting tomorrow night at Williams Grove. Zeb Weiss and Corey Eliason are in town. So hopefully that'll be good. Anyway, that's pretty much it for today. I'm sorry about the show. When we started off the show, we had a little hiccup this morning, and that happens in our industry. But we'll do better tomorrow. I promise you that. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. See you tomorrow. Scotty Cook is going to be in studio with us tomorrow. Sitting right here. Who knows what is going to be said tomorrow? So come in, hang out with us tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.